Nicholas and Purcell live and do ministry in France, and they're going to share with us, he's going to share with us what's been happening.
Hello, everyone. No, that's fine. So I'm very glad to be with you today. It's a pleasure, it's an honor, and you know what was said earlier at the piano? It's so true. God is here, and we are meeting with him now, right now. We have an accessible and a gracious God, and he's a loving God. Jesus Christ lives, and Jesus Christ loves, right? So you will discover, and many of you knows, we are French. So we are partner with the mission. We are planting a new church in France. A new church is the name of the church. So I really believe in church planting. I was currently, before that, the pastor of another church, Protestant, the Champ Evangelical Protestant Church. It was a church that grew from 80 to 250. When the Lord said to me, well, you know, I have something else for you. You should be planting a church. So this is what we are doing. This is France. France is in the west of Europe. Where we live, Paris. So there is the good side of Paris, and there is the bad side of Paris. If I say Paris, you think love, romantic, wonderful, the Eiffel Tower. Well, we live in the suburb of Paris, so it's totally reverse. Don't think about the Eiffel Tower, there is none. It is a hard life there. So Priscille is coming from the east side. Let me see if I manage to. East side of France, close to Germany. You see Munich on the right, so that is that part of France which was German-French several times. I lived 19 years in Limoges. This is about where the word France is, in the right in the middle of France. We met in the south of France, totally south, and that was in a Christian camp. And then we went to Austria. You can see Austria on the right, under Munich, the small countries that begin. We were there for 5 years, and this is where I answered God's call for ministry. And I went to Western Seminary, not far away from here. So it was a long time ago, actually. It was 95, 97. And then everybody was trying, all the people at World Venture were saying, you should be going and do mission in Africa. And I thought, you know what? I mean, France has less than 1% of born-again Christian. God wants all men to be saved. So why should I go in Africa? And actually, Africa is already in the suburb where we are. So going to the world is really going to Torcy. We live in Noisiel. And we planted a church in Torcy. Now we are in Loigne. So you have downtown Paris on the left. You can see the Eiffel Tower waiting for you. And on the right side, you begin to see it. You see a circle with Chessy. This is Disneyland. So we are right in the middle between Paris and Disneyland. Basically, it's a very multinational suburb. So it's totally, we have Asian people, we have African people, we have Caribbean people, we have white privileged people. So it's a very mixed culture. It's very international. It is a world culture. Everybody is there. I'm going to show you pictures of the church. And before you know how I organize the pictures, we believe very strongly in the two big commands that Jesus Christ gave us. The first is the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey. This is the Great Commission, so this is a great command, we have to obey it. And then the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor like yourself. So from that, we draw the five will of God. Magnification, which is worship. Loving God is about worship, and worship is about loving God. You can read that in Deuteronomy 5 and 6. You can see that love and worship are two things that goes together. We love God and we worship Him because He's a great God, right? And because He's a great God, we worship Him. So we want His name to be known. So this is about worship. And then membership. In Acts 2, it's written, you know, when the people got baptized after they repented, it is written that the Lord added 3,000 people to the church on that day. So baptizing is identifying, committing to Jesus, but also identifying with the church body and being part of the members of the church. So membership is about fellowship. It's about not being a consumer, but being a contributor, a doer of the word. And then maturity, teaching them to obey. You know, we are disciples of Jesus. We want to learn. I mean, He's the Prince of Life. He's the King of Life. He's the one who conquered death. And so He knows about life very well. He's a creator. And He gave us, you know, a book that helps us very much. That book that is His truth. So teaching, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We want to grow. We want to learn from Him. And He's showing us how to live this life on this earth. And then ministry, well, love your neighbor. Ministry is about serving your neighbor. When you love somebody, you pay attention to his needs and you want to meet his needs. Else, you know, you are not really loving. If you don't love in truth, then you are not really serving and loving. And then, of course, there is mission and outreach, which is go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus gave us a mission, which is to bring the good news, His good news, to all people. Just that, I would like to ask you, how many of you know how to present the gospel? Okay, I see some hands, but you are shy. Yeah. Okay, how many of you know John 3:16? Okay, so you all know how to present the gospel, okay? So this is what we talk about, telling to the people that God loves them. He gave His Son. He don't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to be saved. So what we do in our church is we just identify the people where they are, the community at the towns around our church, the crowd at the people who comes from time to time at church or at our regular attenders, the congregation at the people who chose to be a member, and the committed at the people who realize what they should do to grow, read the Bible, pray, and go to a small group, a Bible study, give to the Lord as a sign of good steward. The core are the people who are serving. They discovered their ministry, they discovered their passion, and they're serving the church. And the commissioned are the people who practice evangelism outreach as a style of life. And so what we do is we let the people come first, and I'm going to show you how we do that. And then we tell them it's important that you become a member. And we give them the reason, you know, we are children of God, we are His family, and we are supposed to live according to God has made us. So we are His children, we are family, and why don't you come and join us and be part officially of the family? This is the step one. Sometime in the States it's called class 101. And then we tell to the people, well, now that you are a believer, you have to nourish yourself, you have to feed yourself, you have to do what is right before the Lord. And, you know, Jesus Christ didn't die so that the people would be religious, right? Jesus Christ died to make sure that we are going to be reconciled, we go to heaven, and we have a relationship with Him. It's not about religion, it's about having a relationship with Him. So we teach about prayer, reading the Bible, going to a small groups, giving our money to God. So every time when somebody is doing step one, then that person goes from crowd to congregation. And when the person goes to step two and he's taught on maturity and begin to do these things, then he goes from congregation to committed. And in step three, when people discover their passion, their gifts, their talents, then they go from committed to core. And when they go to step four, class 4-1, mission, and they are taught how to share the gospel. Now you know, John 3:16, okay? But when they are taught to do that and they do it, then they are the commissioned people. So why do we do what we do? That's a good question. You know, sometimes things are so hard, and I guess it's the same for you. Things are just so hard, and we just ask ourselves, why do I do that? I mean, church planting is not necessarily an easy thing. Actually, being a pastor is not necessarily an easy thing, too. Actually, normal life is not easy either, you know. But And I'm asking that question, you know, why am I church planting? And I'm sure it was the same for you. Since 2 years, life has been crazy, tough, I mean, terrible. That has been a trial. 2 years ago, we had 350 gypsies living near our house, destroying our lives. My mom was dying from cancer. We had COVID. We had a lockdown for 77 days. I was alone to do the service. With Priscilla. Priscilla was doing the worship. I was doing the preaching for 77 days and no contact at all with anybody. That's hard. Why am I here to talk with you, to report about what God is doing? Why? Why am I coming here to thank you for your support and raising more support? Why am I doing that? Well, there is a very simple reason for them. So that picture was taken on the last Easter. You see the right guy on the right. His name is Fabrice. He is an Italian Catholic guy who did not attend church, but he came on that Easter and he trusted Christ. We are doing that for them because the Lord wants every man to be saved. And you can see Natalie, the second from the right, Natalie, who trusted Christ too on that day. So this is the reason why we do things. You can see Sabrina, and just behind Sabrina, you can see Priscilla talking with somebody. But Sabrina, 1 year ago, had a terrible time, and she did what many people are doing. She went on internet and she looked for help. I mean, it's amazing how people can trust Google, right? They don't want to trust God, but they trust Google. So she went on YouTube and she began to watch an evangelical channel in Quebec. They are charismatic. They presented the gospel. And then she was asking them church addresses. She wanted to go to church. So she got many addresses, and then she wrote to everyone, and there was one guy answering, me. And then she came at church after that, and she trusted Christ. So we do things for Sabrina. And we do things for Fernando. So Fernando has come to the Lord around five years ago, I would say. Fernando is nearly a homeless guy. He is psychologically sick. He is smoking. He was approached by two evangelists in the street who presented the gospel. And these two young evangelists brought that man to our church. And it took time until Fernando began to understand that he has a family with us. And he should be baptized, and he should be a member. And he did about every classes, I do believe. Fernando is sick. He has cancer. They cut him half of his intestine. He has a hard life. But he's saying, the church is my only family. He has been abandoned by his parents, by his sister, by about everybody, but the church is his only family. So we do things for him and for everyone who need to be saved. So how do we do that? Well, you know, we do pre-evangelism meeting. You can see Priscilla hiding behind a mask. This is a woman meeting on well-being. So everybody can come, everybody can invite a friend. And so this is only pre-evangelism. And then we go and ask musicians who are well-known to do, for example, a Christmas concert. And then we ask our people to invite their friends, and we go also invite people in the street. This is in the subway in Logne, where the church is. And this is Sophie inviting somebody who is asking, where is the church? You can see Lily and Eric. Eric is elder with me, trying to invite people who goes out the subway. And you can see the woman saying, no thanks. So some people won't come, but some people will come, and then you have a full room for worship. And on that day, we preach the gospel. And of course, we always hope and pray that some people will stay, and some people stay, usually one or two after, or sometime more, after such meeting. This was the launching of the church 7 years ago. We always try to have food. You know, when there is food, people stay. And when people stay, people talk. And when people talk, people make relationship. And we hope that our church people will demonstrate enough love so that people would come back. And this is what happened on that day. That was the launching. We were 35 before. After the launching, we were way more than that. About 50 people raised their hand to accept Christ on that day. So the food is important. Fellowship, right? And fellowship means we participate. We take part. We share. And once people do that, then they usually come back. They don't come back. A lot of times they don't come back because of my preaching. They come back because of the love of the people. So he can do the best job he can, and I'm sure he does a good job. What counts actually is your love, you know. I was rereading a verse in 1 John 4 just before, saying that when we love, it's like people see God. And it's so true. This is the reason why, you know, in that bad time, you know, that is the reason why we should be at church, because love happened by presence. When we were fiancé, engaged, just before our wedding, you know, if I love Priscilla, I don't stay at a distance just writing letters. I want to touch. I want to hug. I want to kiss. This is exactly what love is about, presence, being here. So once we are at the church service, we tell them, you need to belong to the church. You need to commit. You need to say, okay, I'm in. You need to come in. And this is what we do in class 101. So we teach them about salvation. We teach them about fellowship. We teach them the vision of the church. We teach them our strategy. We teach them what we believe. And then they can become members. And once they are members, they take it seriously to be part of the fellowship. We were eating, that was in our former worship room. They go in small group and they study the Bible, and in small groups they experience really what it is to be in a family. You can see a big picture showing all the members. And then we tell them what is important is to do something, right? Not only listen, not only consume, not only eat, but give something, do something. So Georgie is exactly like you, behind, at the technique, doing the PowerPoints. And then we tell them what is important is that now, following Jesus Christ, that you will nourish your relationship with him. So that's class 201. We teach them reading the Bible, how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to go in a small group, how to give and why to give. And then all the other pictures show things that help people to grow. What help people to grow? Well, first, the preaching of the word of God nourish our faith, right? Being in a small group, praying together, reading the Bible, analyzing, observing the texts help us grow. And praying help us grow. eating help us grow. And then we tell people, why don't you come in class 301 so we will help you to know what is God's plans for you, discovering your passion, your talent, your gifts, your experiences. So I'm teaching that with somebody else. Jerome is one of the deacon of the church. So he knows what his gift is. One time he said, somebody said, maybe the choir leader, Priscilla is leading the choir, and we were trying to get everybody to sing, and he was singing, and I was sitting near him, and I had to tell him, actually, singing is not your gift. You have many other gifts, but don't sing, please. Don't sing. And he took it well, and I tried to be nice and gentle in the way I was expressing it. So he took it well. And that guy, actually, I'm trying to train him for preaching because he has a servant heart. He's very fearful. He has been there for a long time already. He's always behind the screen. He's doing a good job. Georgie is his name. So everyone, all of these pictures are showing you somebody who is doing something. Eric is elder with me and is leading the Lord's Supper. Priscilla is leading the choir. This is the choir we had for Easter, was it? I believe. Xuanlan, who is leading the worship. So, and the other one who was singing, you can see Chloe, the black lady here. She's the sister of Georgie and Johan. And I have memory problem. Eleanor, yeah. Here you can see Anne-Laure, she's not leading the Lord's Supper. She's only explaining what they are going to study during the children time. Jerome, who is preaching. And again, food after the service, but you can see those who serve on the left, Sophie, then Juliette, and then Gaetan, who are serving the people. Again, here it is Priscilla who is leading the small group. I'm not leading that small group. I'm leading another small group on Sunday morning. So she's doing something. And here you can see every one of our church board. You know what? It's just a great church board. I have a great core of leaders. So everyone is the leader of a team. So Jerome is the leader of the ministry team. Xuanlan and Colette are the leader of the financial team. Eric is the leader of the outreach team. Priscilla is the leader of the fellowship team and the worship team. And then you don't see her, but on the right there is Beatrice, who is the leader for children and youth. And then we tell people, do you know how to present the gospel? And a lot of people won't say yes. So we invite them to come in that training. That this is class 401. And then we do evangelism things. That is why we do the women gathering on well-being and beauty. This is why we have an outreach team. This is why we invite people at the subway. This is why we reach people. And you know what I discovered as a pastor? When you preach the gospel, people trust the Lord. It is that not always the case, but a lot of time they do. This is why we do things for these people, Sabrina, Fabrice, Fernando. And of course, we emphasize friendship. You can go in the street, you can invite a lot of people. The people who are coming to church are the people you invite, the people you love, the people you have a friendship with. And we do that for all men to be saved. So, on a more practical level, in October 2019, we had to change our worship location because we lost a building. We were renting, and we are now renting to a Church of God. So they have their worship service in the morning, and we have our worship service in the afternoon. And so when you do that as a pastor, even if everybody at church agreed, you lose people, actually. So we have lost people. And I wish people would just understand that church is not a meeting. It is also a meeting, but it's not only a meeting. Church, we are the church. So it's not on Sunday morning we go to church, say we are the church and we go worship God, you know, we go meeting with God. I wish they would know the correct definition of church, but some people left. And then came COVID 2020, the lockdown for 77 days, and then came vacation behind that. In France, vacation is a big thing, you know, July and August. People take 5 weeks of vacation. And so we lost people during that time. And people would have plus or less good reason. The good thing is that the Lord, you know, used trial and hard time to purify our faith. And so some have said, and actually some who are staying are the most faithful people. And we have a good core of people. They are faithful, they are mature. So our numbers went down. And so the question is, who is going to tell what is really the church? Who? You should be. We should be. I should be. Church, the church are the family of God, the people of God, the living stones. But the church is also the living stone and the children of God who gather on Sunday because Sunday is the day Christ raised from the dead, right? And I think it's very important that we do not forget that. We worship because Christ conquered death, sin, and Satan. And actually, another reason why we worship is that Christ's victory over death is our victory over death and sin and Satan. And there is really a meaning into that. So in January, we had low numbers. We had also a financial crisis in October. I think it's over and it's behind us. In January, we were again in another COVID wave. And so we really have to think about, you know, are there things we should learn through that COVID time? I do believe there are many things we should learn. And tomorrow, we just don't know. The Bible says, the Word of God said that tomorrow is going to be a harder time. We don't know. Only God knows. So what did we learn? Or what do we learn? And maybe today is a preparation for tomorrow. And I'm sure it is. We know that God is with us. He do not forsake us. I have so many stories. We were in Seattle just before at Crossroad Bible Church. We were in Pennsylvania just before. A lot of churches have lost people. Not all of them, but some. I have so many stories of people saying, you know what, I believe in the authority of Scripture. Okay, great. So why did you leave your church? I mean, God is saying, don't forsake your assembly. Don't leave your church. You are a family. We are a family. And so if I'm fighting with Priscilla, and I'm sure you never fight with your spouse and you never fight in your family, but if we fight together, you know what God wants us to do is to find a solution together and to stick together. And this is something I do believe we are learning now. We have to stick together. And while we stick together, we learn lessons. And as we learn lessons, we grow together because we learn God's lessons. So this is a time of growth. This is a time of preparation. And I must tell you, I had some people who told me, you should leave your church because it is discouraging. I have good missionary who went to France before. I respect them, I honor them, I love them. Some of them told me, you should, you know, do something else. Well, we believe in the authority of Scripture. We believe that Christ is the Lord, and we believe that we should be doing what He told us to do, not forsaking our assembly. And you are the people. I am, every one of us should say that to our friends. You should not leave. And as some are leaving, I believe they are going to miss blessings. They are going to miss maturity. They are going to miss many things because we are made to stick together and we are made to be a family and to stay together. I just would like, you know the word of Jesus, and they goes in the saying the same thing that I'm saying. You know, Matthew 7, when Jesus said, there is the foolish guy and there is the wise guy. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And we read that, and many times we believe that the foolish man is... So what does the foolish man do? An answer? Yeah, but what does it mean? So a lot of time we believe that the wise man is the guy who listened to Jesus, right? And the foolish man is the one who does not believe to Jesus. This is not what Jesus said. Jesus said the foolish man is the one who hear and don't do it. The wise man is the one who hears it and do it. But there is a great lesson into that. Storms are coming. And the only one who will stand after the storm is the one who did exactly what Jesus said. It's doing that makes that we stand. If we just listen and don't do it, we don't stand. And we have no foundation. That's why we should stick to our church. And you should listen to the pastor and to Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit. What you can pray for us is simply that we find a building for worship in the morning that is important to reach the people who are not committed, the crowd. And you can pray for us. You know, it's not because we are less in numbers that we cannot evangelize, reach out. So pray for next year, Easter 2023, on the 9th of April. We will try to relaunch the church. So we know with our church board that if on Sunday of Easter we hire a gospel choir and invite people by letters in their mailbox, we know that a huge number of people are going to come. And on that day, I preach the gospel. And when the gospel is preached, some people are going to believe. And then we will try to hire or recruit these people into small groups. So 7 years ago, we have done 40 days of purpose. We'll see if we take a growth campaign or something else. But that's the plan. So we try to retain the people by inviting them into small groups. So I'm inviting everyone who wants to join us. If you want to join us, come. Do it with your pastor, his agreement, if he agrees. I hope. but come, the plan, we know if we put 10,000 letters in the mailboxes, we are going probably to have about 75 people coming. If we put 20,000, it's double, and so forth. So that's the plan. The gospel choir is already hired for that, and... We do what we can. We do the best. We do it as we can with Christ's message and with the love of Christ. And, you know, we trust him to do his work. So thank you for your support. And just saying, if you want to take one card, and they are there in the table, one card of us. And if you would like to pray for us and receive a newsletter, you just write me an email and I put you on the mailing list.